to give you tonight, and Brother Baker, you can go ahead and start the YouTube video on this point. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 25. And my, as you're finding that, didn't we have a Holy Ghost outpouring this past Sunday? Amen. I'll tell you what, it was just, it was just everything I could do to keep from just exploding up to glory. I tell you, it was amazing preaching, amazing singing, and just the spirit of revival. And we're probably one of the few churches, in a lot of churches that are just hungering and wanting a move of God and God to pour out His Spirit. And I'm just, so still on cloud nine from Sunday. Did you enjoy Sunday? Can we praise God for a great day? Brother Paul Jackson, Brother Michael, and we just praise God for what He's doing, and even more things are to come. Tonight I want to speak to you on the subject of good news from a far country. Proverbs 25 and verse 25. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Father, tonight anoint your servant to preach the word of God, and we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. Hard work and cold water, it goes good together. I know when you've worked hard out there, or if you exercise in the heat, and then you get a cup of cold, refreshing water, oh, that is so good coming together. And the writer of Proverbs tells us that good news is like drinking cold, cool, refreshing water. Listen, God's people need some good news. The saints are too burdened tonight. Too many of God's children have lost their shout and developed a pout. Far too many have been sold a bill of goods by the devil, and they've lost their joy in the Lord. Well, I've got some good news from a far country this evening. You see, I got to thinking, there's not a lot of good news out in the world tonight. I mean, there's fake news. We know what that's all about. If you listen to all the major news stories of the day, you're bound to get defeated and discouraged. I mean, you can't watch the news or read the paper without feeling a sense of gloom and despair. But wait a minute. What if heaven published a newspaper? What if heaven was on heaven had a news channel 24/7? What if heaven had a podcast? What if there were notifications straight from glory to your smartphone? You know what I mean by that? Those of you who have a smartphone, you'll get a notification from news saying this crash has happened or this thing has happened. But what if heaven sent a notification on your smartphone? I'll tell you what those notifications would be. They would be good news from a far country. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise tonight? I don't know about you, but I'm ready for some good news. And the writer of Proverbs tells us that we have good news from a far country. So what are God's headlines? What are the good news from the far country? Number one, the first news item that is good news from a far country, number one is this. This just in. God is on the throne. I said, God is on the throne. Psalm 93 verses 1 through 2 says, the Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherein He hath girded Himself. The world is established that it cannot be moved. Now look at verse 2. His throne is established. His throne is established. That is good news from a far country. The world's not coming apart. Your world's not falling apart. We need to turn off fake news and listen to news from a far country. He sits on the throne. He rules and reigns. He is Jehovah. He is God Almighty. He reigns. Can you say amen tonight? Sometimes I think we in the church forget that. We act like some political party is ruling and reigning. Well, so-and-so got elected. I understand there's consequences to the election, but I'll tell you this, God is on the throne. And some of you think that coworker that's giving you a hard time, that's really trying to make things difficult, maybe even trying to get you moved out of your position, maybe trying to get you fired, or maybe trying to wear you out so you'll quit, and so you can go home from work and be all discouraged, and what am I going to do about that person? May I remind you, there's good news from a far country. Your coworker's not on the throne. God is on the throne. Some people act like that situation. Whatever the situation is, it could be a medical situation. It could be a financial situation. It could be the IRS or the EMS or whatever. I want you to know something. It doesn't matter what your situation is. I've got good news. You don't, just pastor, you don't know how bad it is. You don't know what I'm facing. You don't know how high the mountain, how low the valley. I understand. And praise God that you're willing to share for prayer. But at the end of the day, we don't need to cry and moan and walk around like a question mark bent over. We need to stand up like an exclamation point and say, there's good news. My God is still on the throne. Not my medical record, not my financial record, not the IRS or the Democrat. Well, glory, I'll tell you, God is on the throne, and I believe he's on the throne right here at Westmoreland. Amen. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. God is not sitting on the throne wringing his hands. And the Holy Trinity is not in emergency session. And that's good news from a far country. Number two, good news from a far country is the Lord is risen indeed. We just went through the Easter season. Look at Luke chapter 24, verse 34, saying, verse 34, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared unto Simon. Boy, that's the greatest headline ever. Make it in bold print. Send it out to the smartphone notifications. He is risen. Now, if you look at Luke chapter 24, this is part of that story of the two walking on the road to Emmaus. Those of you who are familiar with your Bible have read it through. And we've always said it was the two men on the road to Emmaus, but it doesn't say it was two men. I was doing a fresh study of that, and it was probably a husband and a wife. And so God does want to appear and make himself manifest in marriages and in couples. That's a great sermon for another day. But regardless of whether it's two men or a man and his wife or whatever, we know that they were walking around sort of like question marks. What did I happen? We had hoped he was the Messiah, and he is crucified, and he has been put in the grave, and someone from the shadows joins their conversation. Who is this strange man? And he said, what are you talking about? This stranger said, and they said, well, haven't you heard? Jesus of Nazareth, he has been crucified, and we had hoped that he was the Messiah. And all this stranger began to talk to them. Look at Luke chapter 24, verse 31. Brother Blue, I know you're running back and forth tonight, and thank you for all of your sacrifice for filling in the gaps. But Luke chapter 24, verse 31, and their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn with us while we talked with us, by the way, and while he opened up the scriptures. So here's what happened, and I'm going to read the rest of this in just a moment. Here's what happened. As they were talking about the events and how disappointed they were, this stranger began to open. Did you see that? Began to open up. Did you see that? You know what he did? He gave them some good news from a far country. He said, listen, you don't need to be pouting and doubting. You need to understand that one who was crucified, the Bible already said, the scriptures already said, he would be dead and buried. But oh death, where is thy sting? And oh grave, where is thy victory? Open ye the gates, for the King of glory is coming in. And he gave them good news from a far country. Let's read the rest of it. Hallelujah. Let's read the rest of it. Verse number 33. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together with them. Listen to this. Saying the Lord is risen and hath appeared to Simon. Next scripture. And it says here, verse 35. And they told them the things that were done in the way and how that he was known of them in the breaking of bread. Hallelujah for that communion table. I could see, you know, they still didn't quite know who this stranger was. They still were all wrapped up in the events of the crucifixion. But when he began to break that bread and when he began to serve that wine, all of a sudden their eyes were open and they realized this was good news from a far country. And they realized this is the Lord and he is risen indeed. Somebody give him praise. He's alive. He's alive. And they've come up with the theories, and I mentioned them in my Easter message, and I'll just give you a little bit more on that. Some people said he didn't rise from the dead. The disciples were hallucinating, and they said that they thought they saw Jesus. Yet the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ appeared after his resurrection to individuals, to small groups. And the Bible says on one occasion in 1 Corinthians 15 and 6 that he appeared to 500 people. 500 people cannot hallucinate the same thing at the same time. In fact, I've never heard of two people hallucinating at the same thing at the same time. Some of them said that he didn't really die. He just kind of fainted on the cross. He didn't really die. They call it the swoon theory. They say that Jesus didn't actually die. He just pretended to be dead. Well, get the picture. He's been nailed on a cross. He hasn't slept for 3 days. Remember, they started beating him 3 days before. He's been beaten to death, almost to death. He's mistreated and had nails in his hands, spikes in his feet, and now he's in a tomb. He's covered with linen and spices that weigh over 100 pounds. In that weakened condition, he somehow got up, got those 100, listen, weakened condition. Some of you can't hardly make it to church because of Arthur. Let alone being kicked and beaten and stripped and whipped and crown of thorns and a cat of nine tails and spear in your side. And now you're in a cold tomb and you've lost all that blood and you're going to get 100 pounds of spices off of you. And not only that, you have the strength to roll away a stone. Listen, if you believe that, he was able to elude the Roman soldiers. He would have walked on nail-pierced feet a mile or more, got through a closed door where the disciples were, and convinced them that he had been dead and was now alive. Listen, he didn't just faint. He died. Truly died. Well, some people say they stole his body. Matthew 28:11-13 says, "Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed it to the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled, the elders had taken counsel and gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, 'You say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept.'" Now, this is a terrible, ridiculous lie that they came up with. Can you imagine? Listen to this. If they say they got stole the body. In other words, the disciples snuck in past that Roman guard and stole the body. Now, listen to this. Can you imagine going to a courthouse and standing in the courthouse and the lawyer says, "Did this man rob your house?" And you say, "Yes." And then he says, "How do you know?" "Well, I was sleeping soundly, snoring, and while I was asleep, he robbed my house." This was and is the silliest of all explanations as to why the tomb was empty. And by the way, they would have had to sleep pretty hard not to hear 4 to 6 men roll a 5-foot-high, 2-ton rock from the tomb. There is no way every 100 soldiers would have slept and been so sound asleep that they would not have heard the moving of that stone and the stealing of that body. What a ridiculous theory. And then some people say, well, they went to the wrong tomb. Well, the disciples went to the wrong tomb and saw that it was empty, and they thought that because it was the wrong tomb, they thought it was the right tomb, and they went around saying he was risen from the dead. But people have said that Mary, Peter, and John found an empty tomb, but the wrong tomb. Well, if that was the case, all the Romans and the Jews would have had to have done was take everyone to the right tomb. Are y'all with me tonight? In other words, they would have just said, "Okay, you guys were wrong. Here is the remains." But friend, they couldn't take him to the right tomb because the right tomb was empty. Up from the grave, he arose with a triumph over his foes. An empty tomb is there to prove death could never hold our king. He still reigns. He still reigns. And I've got good news from a far country. He is risen indeed. And because he's alive, I can live. Because he lives, all fear is gone, because I know he holds the future. I said that's good news from a far country. Is he alive tonight? Give him a praise if he's alive tonight. Good news to the world. People talk about, well, what about Islam? What about Buddhism? What about all the religions of the world? All of their founders are dead. our founder is alive forevermore. History proves it. Destiny proves it. And I'll tell you how, most importantly, how I know he's alive, because he lives in my heart tonight. Does he live in your heart tonight? Number three, good news from a far country. By his stripes, we were healed. Some of you need to hear that good news tonight. Some of you might have had some bad news, but 1 Peter 2:24, and I thought about Brother Ray and that song he sings, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. Read that last part. By whose stripes ye were healed. I don't know about you, but that's some good news from a far country. Oh, I am healed. He died for my sins and he died for my diseases. Let me tell you something. The World Health Organization is not very organized, are they? Just look at how they've handled the COVID-19 crisis. One minute they tell you need a face mask. The next minute they tell you don't. Then they come out and say you don't need one, but you need two. One minute they tell you to get vaccinated. The next minute they tell you let's not vaccinate you. One minute they tell you to take two shots. Then the next minute they say take one shot. One minute they say the kids need to stay home. The next minute they say the kids need to go back. I don't know if they are very organized, this World Health Organization. But I want you to know, friends, in the midst of COVID-19, in the midst of COVID-19, I've got good news from a far country. With his stripes, we are healed. Somebody give him praise here tonight. We curse COVID-19 in the mind. COVID-19 is not going to defeat the church. It's not going. Ain't no disease can hold back the church. We are the army of the living God, and we have the stripes of the battle that's been won. The battle scars, and we know that on that cross, he took the sickness and diseases, including COVID-19, including cancer, including diabetes and heart disease. He is our healer. Jeremiah chapter 30:17. Somebody needs some good news from the far country. I will restore, Brother Schuyler, health unto thee. I will heal thee, glory, of thy wounds. Somebody say amen tonight. I've got good news. God heals. He does heal. He heals medically. Yes, he does. I praise God for medical doctors. When I go see a doctor, I'm in prayer. And that doctor's name is called out before God. I say, God, give that doctor wisdom. Let that doctor see what needs to be seen. Don't let him miss what doesn't need to be missed. We want a full and accurate assessment of the situation. You see, faith does not deny the facts. Paul Jackson said that. But I heard Pastor Jerry say it before Paul Jackson says. I don't know if he got it from his pastor Paul or whether Brother Paul got it from the Holy Ghost. Brother, are you telling me you got good news from a far country? Hallelujah! The Lord is our healer. He does heal medically. You know, we pray that, you know, when sometimes people have to have surgery, gallbladder surgery, heart surgery, whatever. If it weren't for those surgeries, the lifespan would be reduced. If certain surgery, if you didn't have your appendix ruptured and you weren't able to have it removed in time, it would kill you. But now it's just like that, buddy. You got the symptoms, boom. They can go in there and take care of it. God uses that. I praise God to give the doctor the wisdom to cut and make incisions and just to be put to sleep during all that. Come on. They used to pull people's teeth. They would hold them back to keep them from screaming and yelling. Now, I know this is not very good, but listen, when I go to that dentist's office and I lay back, I don't want to be there. You don't want to be there. But oh, they'll just put something in there and it just, I mean, I can't tell they're drilling, and they're drilling. I can hear it. Oh, I had to have a teeth filled not long ago, and I didn't like it. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. But I'll tell you what, I never felt 1 minute's pain. And I got up, and I said, God, you are the God of medical science. Hallelujah. Thank God for our medical system, for our nurses, for our doctors. We've got good news from a far country. He is the great physician, and he sends physicians here. Amen. Sometimes God heals gradually. Sometimes healing is not instant. Sometimes it is progressive. I believe in both. I believe in instant healing. I've seen that. I've told you about the story of my dad. His fever wouldn't break. Just very similar to what Nate just went through. Nate Joyner, pastor's son-in-law. They just could not break that fever until finally the Holy Ghost came in and broke it. Amen? And sometimes God heals gradually. Sometimes healing is a process. Sometimes it takes rehabilitation and a little bit of effort. And God is in it, and He's with those recovery periods. And don't be discouraged if you're going through a healing process. Hallelujah! You got to look at where you've been and look at where you could be and look at how far you've come. Amen. And believe God that He is the one that's giving you strength. For as your days, so your strength will be. But I'll tell you what, God heals sometimes instantaneously. I'd still believe in old fashioned of laying on of hands. I still believe the blind eyes can be open. I still believe the deaf ears can be unstopped. I still believe the cripple can walk. I still believe they can come in one way and not leave like they came in Jesus' name, bound, tormented, sick, or lame. Why? Because the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. And there's good news from a far country. If you're sick, by His stripes, we were. Were means it's past tense. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight? Amen. And we do know He heals ultimately. As one pastor said, He takes the disease from the person. Sometimes He takes the person from the disease. And we know, I know we don't like to say this. One minute we preach He heals instantly, but we have to deal with the fact that's precious in the sight of the Lord or the death of His saints. We don't understand why Melody Parnell is in heaven tonight. You probably don't know Melody Parnell. She was music director when I was pastoring Smyrna. Very beautiful spirit, loved God, would come to prayer meeting, and Pastor Jerry prayed with her at his house down at Atlantic Beach, and we just praised God that Sister Melody's purpose was fulfilled. And the Bible speaks of whom the world is not worthy. Sometimes God in the flowers on this earth picks the most beautiful ones for His garden in glory. And we don't understand why Sister Judy Meeks went 7 or 8 years and was not instantly healed like we had prayed. And I spoke at the funeral and I said, sometimes God allows those things to see how we treat those who are less fortunate to build our crown. These are mysteries, my friend. But I'll tell you this, Sister Judy Meeks ultimately is in glory, and the devil can't touch her and disease can't touch her. Brother and sister, we're going to a place where the roses never fade. We're going to a place where there is no sickness, no disease, no sorrow, no pain, and all tears will be dried from our eyes. We ought to praise Him. That's good news from a far country tonight. Thank you, Lord, and I praise You tonight. Ooh, them two preachers fired me up Sunday. And our own pastor, amen, praise God. Good news from a far country is Jesus is coming soon. Folks, it's about time. I remember when I was a teenager and they preached the coming of the Lord. Look at Revelation 22 and 12. And behold, I come quickly. That's good news from a far country. I know the radical left is trying to shut the churches down. They're trying to boycott states. They're trying to bully and intimidate. They're trying to shut down the preaching of the true gospel. They're trying to make it a crime to speak the word of God. They've canceled Dr. Seuss. Now listen to me tonight. Listen very clearly. If they cancel and quit carrying Dr. Seuss because of some stuff that may or may not have been said 50 years ago when the man wrote it, it ain't going to be long, brother. They're going to cancel this book right here. I walked into Barnes & Noble last week on spring break. Praise God, I love going to bookstores on spring break. Some of y'all just shaking your head. How in the world? Everybody has their hobby. I picked up a book and I just smell it. And Haley looked at me and said, what are you doing? I said, I am smelling a book. They smell good. Amen. What'd you say? New books. Amen. New books, old books. I love them. But I walked in that Barnes & Noble, and they had all those Bibles up there. And I thought to myself, they ain't going to be long. They're going to have them Bibles out of here. But that's all right. They can take them out of Barnes & Noble, but they can't take them from my heart. And I'll tell you, before they take this Bible from my hands, before they take it, they'll have to rip it, and I'll have to be dead. There'll be no breath in my nostrils before you take my Bible from me. I will fight you to the death. Because if they take these Bibles away from me, we're done. This country is done. But I've got good news. I didn't come to give you bad news. Good news from a far country. Jesus is about to return. The Lord, the signs of the times are here. In Matthew chapter 24, it says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Never before have we seen warfare in the last 100 years. There's the rebuilding of the nation of Israel. And Israel is now in locking in, getting ever closer with war, all-out war with Iran. And I praise God that they blasted that nuclear facility. And I have a question. Why didn't the United States do it first? Why do we have President Obama, President Biden? Why are you trying to make deals with those who want to nuke our friends and our allies and ultimately us? Oh, we've got to pray for, and I am pleased that Secretary of Defense, Biden, Secretary of Defense, made a very strong statement. He said, we stand with Israel. It blew me out of my waters there. He's African American, Secretary of Defense. I said, if that's the stand they take, God will give favor to the Biden administration, a measure. Because there's still some other things that's going to cause God's wrath, the Equality Act and others. My friend, I'm telling you, there's Nation of Israel, technology, facial recognition, smart home, you know, where you can set it up to where when you drive up in your car, the light comes on in the carport, the living room light will flash on. As you walk down the hall, the bedroom light will flash on. It's called a sequencing. Come to Best Buy and I'll sell you a system. Some of you are like, well, I don't want a smartphone. I still have a dumb phone. Come on. Jesus is coming soon. The technology is there. Microchips. And I will tell you this. Now, I'm going to say this very balanced. Very balanced. And I know everybody has their opinion, but I want you to hear. I'm not telling you an opinion. Pastor Jerry and I, we're here to shepherd you as men of God. I am not against the vaccine. And I understand there's people that say the vaccine is sort of setting up that you got to have that vaccine or you can't buy or sell. Now, I don't think the vaccine is the mark of the beast. In fact, I know it's not the mark of the beast. It is not the mark of the beast. It is not anywhere near that. But if you feel like you should take the vaccine, I bless you in the name of the Lord. If you feel like you don't need to take it, I bless you in the name of the Lord. Because I think it's a personal decision, and I think we're all dealing with a pandemic. And I know there's conspiracy theories out there, but you hear me. There is coming a time when if you don't take a certain mark, you're not going to be able to buy, sell, or eat. You're not going to be able to go to the grocery store. We're seeing it now. We're seeing it now. There's talk if you don't have a certain vaccine, you can't go overseas and you can't do this and you can. And they're saying it's a health issue. And I understand that. And I do understand it. And I'm not against that per se. But I'm just telling you, we're all starting to think differently about how we do things and how we present things. I'll tell you, the signs of the times are here. And there is good news. It says, as it was in the days of Noah, where men will be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and things are going to go on. But Jesus said, that's the way it was. And then the flood came and there's earthquakes. And I want you to know that just even right here in North Carolina, we've had earthquakes in the last 10 years. And there's so much more about that. But I just want you to know good news from a far country soon and very soon. Keep your eyes on that eastern sky. It's midnight, later than it's ever been. Somebody said, I've quit looking for the signs. There's so many signs. I've quit looking for the signs. I'm listening for the shout. Somebody say amen tonight. I said there's good news from a far country. Our king is about to return. Gabriel's about to blow the trumpet. It is time to get prayed up, packed up. We're about to go up because the Lord is soon to return. And I don't know about you, that's not fake news. That's good news from a far country. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. I said good news. And then number five, good news from a far country. This is the greatest news of all. The best news I could tell anybody anywhere is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Acts 16 and 31. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. The greatest news is that you can be born again. During the 17th century, Oliver Cromwell, the Lord Protector of England, sentenced a young soldier to be shot for his crimes. He was engaged at the time, and his fiancée did everything she could to get his sentence commuted. She even fell at the feet of Cromwell and begged for his life, but no, to no avail. Finally, the execution was to take place at the ringing of the evening curfew bell. When the time came, the people noticed that the bell did not ring. They waited and waited until finally they found out that the soldier's fiancée had climbed into the belfry and clung herself to the great clapper of the bell to prevent it from striking. And while she was up there, the clapper of that bell had beat her and bruised her. She was bleeding from head to toe. She was determined to do everything she could to keep that bell from ringing because she knew when it rang, her fiancé was going to be shot. And they brought her bloodied and battered and laid her at the feet of Cromwell. And Cromwell's heart was moved. And he said, your lover shall live. Because of your sacrifice, curfew shall not ring tonight. My friend, I want to tell you, we're all under the sentence of death. We're all deserving of eternal punishment. But someone hung between heaven and earth like that woman and was beaten and bloodied. And at the time of my execution, he lays his body at the feet of God the Father. And God the Father says, curfew shall not ring for all eternity. My friend, salvation is the greatest news of all. Can you raise your hand and thank him that he was bleeding and bruised and took your punishment and sacrificed and took your place and suffered? That's good news from a far country. Aren't you glad for heaven's headlines? Amen. Aren't you glad that we've got good news from a far country? Some of you need to quit reading Woe Is Me magazine. And you need to get busy praising the Lord for good news from a far country. And I got a question to ask. This is my closing question tonight. I've told you about all this good news from a far country. What do you do with good news? Amen, my brother. Give the Lord a praise tonight. Share that good news. Tell somebody Jesus is risen indeed. Tell somebody who's sick, with his stripes we are healed. Tell somebody who's distraught and discouraged that God is still on the throne. Tell somebody who is concerned about the signs of the time that Jesus is about to return. And tell those who don't know the Lord, believe on the Lord and you shall be saved. Would you stand with me tonight? Amen. And Father, we thank you for good news from a far country. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing at Westmoreland Church. We thank you, God, that with your stripes we are healed. And we bless you and praise you for good news tonight. Amen.
As a voice. As a voice, calling me.
You sing and I'll follow you, Pastor.
I probably need that guitar to do it. Now, Bart.
Amen. While he's getting ready, would you tell somebody you've got good news from a far country? Tell somebody, I am blessed and highly favored. Amen.